Really interesting game Sunday night. A couple of teams you figured were division contenders. Kind of rocky starts. Our guest is the host of Believe in Steelers. It's part of the Believe Podcast Network. You can follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at MDBergen. Online, check out markdbergen.com. You may have guessed we're talking to Mark Bergen. Mark, how's life treating you during these unique times?
Steve, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be talking with the pride of Eugene, Oregon, not to be confused with the Florida Gators legend by the same name. But along a lot of people in your area, too, are really excited about now that the Kraken has been released on the ice. But, yeah, we've got a Thursday night matchup tonight and then Sunday night Seahawks-Steelers that's going to be really exciting at Heinz Field.
You know, a general question. In 2017, you know, the Patriots lost to the Chiefs and the Panthers. They were 2-2, and they were handing out shovels to throw dirt on Brady and the dynasty, and they wound up winning the AFC. A lot of talk about, is Roethlisberger done, not getting the ball into the end zone? It's rarely as good or as bad as most seem. So what's the buzz? What's your read? How concerned should Steelers fans be about the slippage, perhaps, in Big Ben's game?
Yeah, so I know we're only in week 6, but this very might well be a loser leaves town matchup, considering the strength of the division that both of these teams play in. We know what the NFC West can do, and then we know what the AFC North can do, considering that this was a division a year ago that had 3 teams in the playoffs. So Big Ben has struggled, and they were able to right the ship in week 5 against the Broncos. Now, the recipe was, let's not put all the onus on Big Ben. He only threw the ball 25 times in week 5, and it marked the first time where the Steelers had run the football more in a game than they had passed it. You had to go back to week 6 of the 2020 season. So that was one of my frustrations, the fact that you're putting all the onus on Big Ben in year 18 at the age of 39, having him throw the ball 40 or 50 times in a game. Even if you had elite quarterback play, that's not a recipe for success. So they finally started to commit to the running game. Najee Harris getting his first 100-yard game, the rookie out of Alabama, the team's first-round draft pick. I'd like to see them continue to get him the football, considering you spent that draft capital on him, and he's a bell cow. He's able to make guys miss. I'd like to see the Steelers commit to the running game and continue that trend that we saw in week 5. I'd like to see them continue that on Sunday Night Football against the Seahawks.
You know, right in there, you have to talk about the offensive line. They drafted a couple of linemen in the 3rd and 4th round. Kevin Dotson, who starts on the left side, was drafted last year. The left tackle, Okorafor, in 2018. They signed a Pro Bowler like Trey Turner. Overall, this group kind of put together in recent years, how would you evaluate how they've played?
Yeah, so David DeCastro retired kind of abruptly, and so that's the reason to sign Trey Turner. But if you look at salary cap allocation, the Steelers spend less than $12 million on their starting offensive line. That is lowest in the league, and in life, you get what you pay for. Now, you're starting 2 rookies along that line, Dan Moore Jr. at the left tackle position and Kendrick Green at the center position. You're exactly right, Kevin Dotson, the left guard, is a second-year player. So they're all very young. A lot of them are on rookie deals. Zach Banner's working his way to get back into the mix. He's still working his way back from a season-ending injury a year ago. But a way to help a young line gel is to commit to running the football and putting their weight on an opposing team's defensive line. That wears on teams in the 3rd and 4th quarter, especially, and you folks know this over in the Pacific Northwest, once it gets colder and colder into the season, how running the football becomes more and more important as you get into October, November, December, and January.
Talking with Mark Bergen of Believe in Steelers podcast, certainly you look to Juju Smith-Schuster as a big weapon, a guy we know very well from his USC days, hurt his shoulder Sunday, Chase Claypool missed the game, he's kind of been limited with a hamstring, Deontay Johnson a couple big games in a row. So what's the health status of Schuster and Claypool, and how do you like this arsenal when they're full tilt?
I love it when they're healthy. It's crazy because Juju Smith-Schuster's like the elder statesman. He's only in his mid-20s, so you've had some depth there. Juju's going to be out, it looks like, for the duration of the season with the shoulder injury. Whoa. He had surgery earlier this week. So, like, next man up, right? We hear that cliche all the time in the NFL. It's a great opportunity for James Washington, who is the team's fourth receiver. He's working his way back from a groin injury. But like Juju, James Washington's also in a contract season, so you want to see him ball out. And when he's given his opportunity, showcase what he can do, because whether the Steelers want to award James Washington a new contract, he might be playing for his next contract with another team, one of the other 31 teams in the league. If this is Juju's last run in Pittsburgh, it's been a heck of a run. But what I would say is this, he's definitely a beneficiary to be the Robin to Antonio Brown's Batman when AB was still in town. So I just think given this year and the injuries, really unfortunate to pay Juju $8 million a year. He makes plays in the slot, and he's a good target for Big Ben on third down, but that level of production just wasn't there even before the injury. But now if you're the Steelers, you've got a great opportunity. Deontay Johnson scored on the opening drive in back-to-back weeks for the Steelers. He led the league in drops a season ago, and he does not have a drop dating back to week 16 of the 2020 season. Chase Claypool looked terrific with 5 catches against the Broncos a week ago. He had a touchdown as well, more than 100 yards through the air as well. So, I know you hear next man up all the time. If there was one position group where the Steelers could afford an injury, receiver is the one position, just given the depth that they have at that position.
Okay, so to my generation, New York fans, when I turned 10, they drafted Bradshaw. At 12, it was the Immaculate Reception. Now, the key mark is that the Giants and Jets sucked. Neither of them made the playoffs during the 70s. So my buddies and I, it seemed like just to have somebody to root for, either pick the Steelers or the Raiders. So fill us in a little bit, a little personal background. What generation do you represent? And when you first started following, what do you remember about those Steelers?
What I would say is I remember the Super Bowls in 05 and 08, and I just remember just defense being the cornerstone, and defense and running the football. And, you know, whether it's Jerome Bettis, whether it's Deuce Staley, whether it's Willie Parker, they always had a stout running game that they could rely on. Enter Big Ben, and then you've got a defense. I mean, Polamalu, James Harrison, this was a defense that opposing offenses did not want to go up against, because my co-host Ike Taylor says this all the time. They were taught by, you know, the Hall of Fame defensive coordinator Dick LeBeau, and they were taught not to give up a blade of grass. And so that's kind of, you predate my time. The patriarch and the forefather of all of this, Mean Joe Green. I mean, I'm sure you remember, his Super Bowl Coca-Cola commercial and everything too. But this is just a very proud franchise. 6 Super Bowl titles, rabid fan base, and looking to get back to 500 this weekend against Sunday. I know it's a slow start starting out the season 0-2 at Heinz Field. And things look shaky there on Sunday because they had an 18-point lead against the Broncos. And it's like, oh my gosh. Are they going to blow this and start 0-3 at home this season? And I tell you what, I do think that the fans at Heinz Field played a difference in week 5. So a little bit about my background. I mean, and when I had the opportunity, I said, we had a former player to host the Believe in Steelers podcast with. And I said, who's the player? They said, Ike Taylor. And I said, the defensive back, set up the call. I don't need to know anything else. Getting to talk to him each week, Steve, it's one of my favorite things that I get to do.
Yeah, we're talking with Mark Bergen of Believe in Steelers. Few final thoughts, and I was going to mention that you get to do that podcast with Ike, who was a starting corner on, in essence, their 3 modern Super Bowl teams, 05, 08, and 2010. And just to listen to him break down the play of the secondary, what's he been saying, your take on, the kind of player, the young guy who's already a 2-time All-Pro, Minkah Fitzpatrick, who I look at that guy and I'm like, there's a baller for you.
Oh, yeah, and he's due to make a play. And I tell you what, too, I know there are some people who said, well, should the Steelers have given up a first-round pick for him? I think you do that 10 times out of 10, just given what he's been able to do and how he's completely transformed the back end of the defense. Now, he's definitely a beneficiary of having both Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt up front. It all starts with the ground up, but I look for him to make a play because I think a lot of opposing offenses have gone away from him just given his playmaking abilities. Now, I know in week four against Green Bay, he had blocked a field goal and returned it for a touchdown. Joe Hayden got called for an offside penalty, and that got called back. But when he's able to get an interception, he's dynamic in the open field in that he can take it in the other way for a score. So I know he's a ball hawk on the back end of that defense, and that's going to be especially important considering the duo that the Seahawks have in both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So, again, I'm looking for Minka to make a big play. It's going to be one of these weeks where we see him, you know, returning a pick six yet again. He's notorious for doing that. So I'd expect that to – Sunday night could be a time that you see that. We'll see, though.
Obviously, in T.J. Watt, you've got the legendary linebacking tradition, you know, Hammond, Lambert, Lloyd, Harrison. So you mentioned LeBeau. After 2014, Keith Butler took over the defense. And it was 2 years ago, in 2019, they gave up a bunch of points. Better last year, 10th in points this year. So you mentioned the back end. What about overall? What do you like about this Pittsburgh defense?
It all starts with Cam Hayward up front. If you look at how he's graded as well, when he's on the field versus when he's not on the field, it is a night and day difference. And I think he's in the conversation too, if you really, really watch the film with Aaron Donald this season. So I look at it, I look at Hayward up front, but then with Watt, I mean, he missed one game with a groin injury, but the Steelers are already getting a pretty good return on their investment considering he's getting after the quarterback, he's making plays in the backfield. So considering that they gave Watt a huge contract extension in the offseason, you hope he continues to stay healthy through the duration of this year, but they're already getting a nice return on their investment there. Like, look, the two position groups the Steelers know how to draft, and I don't need to rattle off all the names here, but the wide receiver position on offense and outside linebacker, just go through the history of who are all-pro players, Hall of Fame players. I certainly expect T.J. Watt to be on that track. And he's just played. I think he's the best of the three Watt brothers. You can never have enough Watt brothers on your team. But just the way he's playing the last few years shows why he was worth that massive contract extension on the eve of the season.
Yeah, when you look at the big board and it's your turn in the draft and you see W-A-T-T, say, I'll take that guy. Lastly, the Sunday nighter, you know, looked like a game you had to circle a few weeks back. Then Seattle's defense went AWOL. They lost Russell Wilson last Thursday. So what's the buzz about facing the Wilson-less Seahawks and the new starter, a vet like Geno Smith?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Geno can do because it'll be his first start since December 3rd, 2017. And he's going to get his opportunity now because really since he left the New York Jets way back in the day when he was fighting for playing time with the franchise, he's been in a backup role primarily when he's been in this league. So, like, I know Russell Wilson going in had the consecutive game started streak, which is going to come to an end. But really this game comes down to is whether the Steelers can run the football effectively on offense and the Steelers' defense, how they're able to stop that. Because Steelers rushing defense second to last, or rushing offense is second to last in the league, and the Seahawks defense is amongst the last in the league. One thing I'd say about the Seahawks defense is kind of a bend but don't break defense. They're a little bit better with average points allowed, but they give up a ton of yardage. Really, whichever team is able to win that battle, it's a line of scrimmage game, I think comes out victorious on Sunday night.
Folks, from the Franco's Italian Army days to the terrible towel to this particular group, always up to talk some Steelers. He's Mark Bergen. He hosts Believe in Steelers with the great corner Ike Taylor on the Believe Podcast Network. Follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at MDBergen online. It's markdbergen.com. Mark, great stuff. Really appreciate your time and insight. And appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. Really, really appreciate it.
Steve, thanks so much for having me.
All right. Have a good one.